radioaustralia.net.au.
And that's where you are right now with me, Arnton Jarmer. It's time now to find out what's happening in the world of technology. It's a fascinating place. There's always things that are popping up every week. It seems like there's no end of things to be able to talk to, or talk about, really. And we're joined by Morris Mislowski, who is the a business futurist, and he knows everything there is to know about technology. How are you?
I'm very good. How does one live up to knowing everything?
Well, everything about technology. let's just wind that back in. But technology, it's now branching into places that you wouldn't think were possible. You know, with this talk of having a tattoo that can talk with your mobile phone. What is that about?
Yeah, absolutely. So technology, I think, is really an overused word in many cases, and that's why what you're asking makes perfect sense. Technology in its old Greek origin was really about the way we work, the way we operate. And it means no more than that. Technology goes back to fire, it goes back to wheels, it goes back to all kinds of things. So really what this is the next evolution of healthcare, strangely enough, and that's where this tattoo idea comes from. There's been a lot of scientists working over the last decade trying to figure out how they can better monitor what happens inside our body, and especially for people that might have diabetes, that might have seizures because of epilepsy, might have heart conditions. You can put monitors on them and you can physically stick them to them, you know, I mean not with glue, but you can stick it to them and make it something they can wear, but that's cumbersome, it really doesn't add value to life. And what they've tried to do is to work out how to do it best so that it remains inside the body, is discreet, people aren't really too worried about it, and it does exactly what it needs to do. And the thinking behind that are what might best be described as tattoos. Really what they are is nanoparticle, and that's a big word which simply means it's really small, really, really small stuff that they put under the skin. And they are primed to be able to look for triggers, whatever that is, whether that's glucose or whether it's cellulite or whether it's, you know, some kind of seizure in the brain or whether it's some kind of abnormal activity. And when those things happen, it triggers off some kind of activity. It started off as being something that you would wear a watch for, so you'd have this thing implanted under the skin. It would be really, really small. And the reason it was called a tattoo was because it left like almost braille marks on top of the screen, on top of the skin. So there were little marks you could see, but it wasn't obvious to anyone walking past.
Okay, so it's not like your whole arm is covered in a tattoo and it starts vibrating because you're low on sugar or something.
No, not yet, not yet. It most probably can be. And look, we talk about it in that way, but you know, there's no reason down the track why it couldn't be that way. So you most probably could turn it into a full sleeve or something and make it into something that's quite artistic. But in this case, it really is very discreet. They inject it under the skin. There's many, many ways of this possibly being done. One of them is being done around diabetes. And what they're talking about is being able to inject something under the skin. It's supposedly a painless or less pain injection, so not really a big deal in other words, and then that will sit under the skin at this stage for about 6 months is what they're guessing. Now we're a couple of years away from this coming true, but this is where the prototype is at the moment. It has 6 months life in it, and these things will be primed to be able to see glucose in the bloodstream as it happens. And when they see the glucose, again, doesn't matter, and I can't tell you why because I don't know, I mean they do, but it will turn blue. And the blue mechanism is, in fact, what will trigger off our mobile phone or whatever device we're wearing to say that the glucose is not where it should be, and will then make us alert of what we have to do. Now, the next steps of this, and this is even further down the track, so this is years away, is that it will make us aware of it, but it will then go to stage two, which is, I'm aware of it, this is the parameters of how we fix it. In other words, this is what needs to be injected or what needs to be put into the body to rectify this situation, and it will do it automatically for you.
Wow. I mean, because we've already got sort of implants on a very crude level, which would give off either a hormonal thing where you've got birth control implants, so that would make you feel like you're pregnant for a woman, and therefore you wouldn't have to take the pill for those people taking the pill. So there are those medical elements of implants. It's not new technology, but it's different uses of technology.
It's all down the same road. It's really all down the same road. And as we become more knowledgeable about our body and how it works, you know, with DNA and the rest of it, these things become more and more possible. Especially nanotechnology is really a very new area. It's a word we've thrown around for about 10 or 15 years. But really, people have only started to understand how to use it in the last 5 years or so. And most of the things we talk about are that. Nanotechnology means that we're dealing with things that are about a thousandth the width of a hair.
A thousandth of a width of hair. Now, her hair is not that big.
Well, not in my head anyway. So, so we're talking about something that's really, really small, but has the ability, and I call it tensile, which means how strong it is. It's stronger than any steel or anything else that we know that man actually has ever created. So its strength is really, really strong, and its ability to be manipulated. In other words, because it's so small, they can make it into all kinds of things. So it's one of these things, it's one of these down-the-track inventions we'll hear a lot about, I think, in a decade, 15 years from now. Mm. We'll see a lot of biology, a lot of body work, a lot of medicine being built around that kind of ability. So that's the electronic tattoo. What happened this week is an announcement of something that's kind of gone a step beyond that. And it's, again, one of these things about perhaps difficult to explain because there is no precedent to it. But the best way that I can understand it for me is it's almost like a plastic sock. Now, what that means is this. A guy has come up, a scientist, of course, I shouldn't call him a guy, a scientist has come up with a way that he puts together what he calls twisted circuitry. So, it's not plastic at all, but it's almost like plastic. And what he's been able to do is put circuits into this technology, and then that technology can be embedded into the human body. And the reason they're calling it a sock is because what he sees down the track, about 5 years from now, he thinks, at least, maybe longer, is that they will be able to put this technology, like a sock, around the heart, or around a section of the brain, or a section of the body, and it will actually monitor. So it will encase that entire organ, and it will then monitor that organ and keep that organ in check. So if you are prone to having heart attacks, for instance, it will actually wrap around the entire heart. It will then ongoing monitor it, and if there are any requirements, you know, if there's something going on toward, it will make the announcement. In other words, it will call the doctor. It will do all kinds of things for you. And that's where we're headed next, these kind of wearable, next step up from tattoo kind of devices.
Wow. I mean, this is getting to the point where we're becoming that those futuristic programs like Star Trek and, Galactica or these ones where you've got these characters where they're half human, half robot, mm. and more, I mean, we've always had implants like a hip replacement or some kind of bolts to keep your arms together when we've broken it really badly, or pins to keep your body together. I mean, those are the mechanical things. But when you're actually talking about nanotechnology, possibly operating things that are, you know, that are there to then, you know, be stimulated remotely, I mean, this could throw up a lot of ethical issues in terms of, I could really see religious people sort of getting quite heated about this because, I mean, you're really playing God in a lot of ways.
You are. You absolutely are. But then again, that's what medicine has done ever since it was invented. Medicine has really, in many ways, for the ultra-religious, the ultra-orthodox, has been against the word of what we were supposed to do because we are intervening with our body. Now, we talk about cochlear implants, the ability to put something in your ear to be able to hear. We talk about pacemakers. We talk about all kinds of things into our body. I don't have an answer because it is an individual answer. But as a futurist, one of the things I love to do when I go into large groups is to ask that question because it appears on paper, and this is not to be taken seriously, but it appears on paper that somewhere down the track, 100, 200 years from now, we'll actually be able to export our body, our content, our mind, our thinking, into another vessel, into another form of either organic or inorganic being, in other words, a robot or another person that's been grown. And then the question becomes, which extends out from what you said, is that something we should ethically do? Is that something morally we should do? Mm-hmm. And where does that take it? And it's this great debate because there really isn't an answer. It comes down to an individual. If you personalize it and you say that somebody who's very, very ill, but and I don't know how you qualify deserves to live because we all deserve to live, but somebody who's very, very ill and famous perhaps. We talk about Jim Steins, for instance, this week as a great example of that. If the technology was around that allowed him to export his thinking and his personality into some other kind of organic or inorganic matter, is that something that we would have thought was good? Again, no answer to it, but it's a great debate.
When do you think the technology is going to have to make that ethical decision? All those debates are going now, but the rate the technology is advancing and how quickly new technology comes up and it's ready to go, it's on the shelf and, you know, really pushing that envelope. Is there enough debate time in between new releases and new technologies, do you think?
I'm never really sure because it really depends on what the technology is. We talk about simple technology like birth control. You brought that up before, the hit in the 60s. And really today we're still debating it. I mean, there is still very strong religious dogma that's against that. And that is a form of technology. That's a form of intervention. So it really does depend. It comes back to that individualist thought as to what's appropriate and what's not. The reality for us is that medicine, I think, will always be ahead of whatever it is that morally or ethically or culturally is appropriate. And that's because medicine, one of medicine's role is to push the boundaries, is to do things that were seen as impossible, but for some reason extend life, change quality of life, do something beyond that. And then we really have to ask ourselves the question of, is that something we want? Is that valuable to us?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's definitely a big debate that needs to, and it is an ongoing debate that's happening now, and obviously it's going to heat up, I think, with new forms of technology coming about. But man's want to fly, I think it's one of those things that we've had a pursuit going for, I think ever since a man looked at a bird and thought, wow, that's something I'd like to do, that's freedom. What's developments there?
So again, this week, a Danish gentleman has come up with a way, he says, to be able to fly. What he's done is to build wings, and we're talking about it at the moment how it is, but it's literally bird wings. I mean, it looks like bird wings on his shoulders, and he flaps. So again, think of a bird, just put a person on the other end of it.
Anyway, so he's attached them like...
He's attached them to his arm with straps. So it's an aluminium structure. Yeah. Okay. So he's built this aluminium structure, lightweight aluminium structure, that attaches to his arms. Mm-hmm. And then by flapping, he is able to fly. And there's a great video of this, so have a look. I mean, do the search.
Because this was way back in the day. I mean, this is before the Wright brothers actually got up and did the flying.
Yeah.
They had these models of people with wood and feathers and trying and actually killing themselves, flying, just throwing themselves off cliffs, trying to be the first person to fly before the Wright brothers actually did the actual job. So it seems like a bit of a back to the future here when you've got somebody now, 21st century, with all the technologies, jet planes, all this stuff, strapping wings to himself? It's going backwards, isn't it?
Well, it's going backwards, but again, as you've said, it has been the human quest forever. I mean, look at Leonardo da Vinci. One of his most famous portraits, one of his most famous sketches, was exactly that. It was a man attached to a set of wings. So it's definitely taken our, as you said, it's taken our imagination from day one. We have cave drawings going back for thousands of years that obviously weren't of man flying, but were of the imagination of what it would be like if a man could fly. So this gentleman has come up with what he thinks is a possible way to make it happen. What's interesting is, apart from the actual structure of the wings, is that this is all done by hooking himself up to an Android phone and a Wii game controller. They are the two onboard computers that make this thing work.
Hey, so who's playing the game? Yeah.
So what's happening is that he's using both of those devices to be able to tell how high he is, what direction he's flying, and the Wii controller, because it takes motion, it actually figures out where you are and gives you commands, in other words, changes the screen and does things based on where it sees you are and what you might want to do.
Yep.
It's actually the Wii controller that controls the wing according to that, so it figures out based on the motion what needs to happen, whether it needs to go up and down and what speed. And what the phone is being used for is the ability to know exactly where it is. So it's almost like that compass that's built in that tells you exactly where you are on the planet and which way you're headed.
Wow.
So that's the gyroscope. Yep. So that's the phone bit. It figures out where you are and which direction you're headed in.
Yep.
It then feeds information apparently into this Wii controller bit that then does the flapping. I mean, you do it with your arms as well, but then oversees that to make sure that you've got all your motions and everything correct. Now, if he flew 328 feet, about 100 metres, on this the other week,
wow.
There's this great, because we are humans, we love this. So there's two camps. There's one who says this whole thing is just a beat-up, it never really happened, and somebody had some really great Photoshop time, and it didn't work. The other side says this was absolutely true, and he's got a ton of press. For some reason, didn't hit Australia, but around Europe, he's literally been on every talk show, every radio show. He's just been doing the rounds. So there seems to be more belief in the fact that this is real. And again, if you do a search, do a YouTube search, you'll be able to find it and actually see. There's about a 3-minute segment of him flying.
Okay, so they've recorded it. So it's not just stills.
No, they've recorded it. You can see him taking off, flying. You can see him landing, doing the whole box and dice. But as I said, we love a great conspiracy. So
I think if anybody is successful, there's always going to be the doubters. Because it doesn't seem right that the person can just get all the accolades without actually being challenged a bit. Okay, so you've given me the picture, and he's there trying to show someone exactly how it works by flapping his...
And down the bottom you can see... I mean, this is great radio, I know, sorry. But down the bottom you can actually see the circuitry for how that thing works.
And what I love about this is the fact that they're using already established bits of technology. So they can find a Wii console, by Nintendo, and pull that technology out. And then most people these days have got smartphones, the way it's going. And be able to just incorporate that technology into this. That's what I really like. I like the bits of this and a bit of that, and I'll do a bit of this, and because it's not having to develop it from scratch, and I think this is the way it's going. With all of this, you see how technology is becoming so quick, because some kid in their backyard can make something which revolutionises the world.
And that's exactly what we say. I mean, I call it kitchen innovation. And really what we're talking about is the ability for somebody to see something in one of these devices that wasn't seen before. The Kinect, which is the other game controller that came out, again, was only ever meant to be used in this WiiWay. In other words, it was meant to be used for gaming. But literally within about, 48 hours of it coming out, some kid, some 16, 17-year-old, had cracked into this thing and had found that he can then do all kinds of other things using the 3D controller. And since then, it's actually become a purposeful business tool. And Microsoft has gone back now to reinvent it to be used in the way this kid cracked it, because they never saw it being used for any other purpose except for playing games.
Right.
So now it's used for wheelchair movement, it's used for all kinds of bits and pieces, and for business to open doors. It's just phenomenal where that's come. And that's what you're talking about, the ability of people to see far beyond. And innovation really does give us that opportunity now with stuff that's out there, things that we can become readily aware of, internet connection that gives us insight into what other people are doing and using things for. It just sparks off a why not?
I mean, and I love how it always comes from a kid. You know, it's like we learn all these things, we think we're fantastic, we get older and we know about the world, and a kid comes along and shows everybody that, hey, you don't know that much, you know. And that's what I like about the youth and their ability. I mean, what I saw, I was very lucky. I had on the cusp of the whole computer technology. You know, I had those old floppy discs.
Yeah.
They used to be real floppy discs. And that's how I learned, and I was really lucky. I got in just when the internet was coming out, so I could see that technology, and it served me well over the time. But the people coming out now who get the technology, I've got a little nephew who's 8 years old, and he's already got a smartphone, and he's playing on it, and he's doing things. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, you look at one-year-old and even younger, and they are able to operate an iPhone. I mean, whether it's a smartphone or of any other kind, but the iPhone's the one they always talk about. They just take to it naturally. It really is like a duck to water for them, remembering that they've never seen a world where that didn't exist. To them, it's normal. The people around them are using it, and they're mimicking what they're seeing. To us, it's extraordinary. It's something that is new to our lifetime, but to them, it's the only thing they've ever known. And going back to your other point, it's one of the things that I often encourage my CEOs when I'm working with them to think like, and that's the childlike ability. Look beyond the norm, which is what, unfortunately, most adults do. You know, we kind of take for granted that's all there is to it. But kids actually look at something, they look far deeper, and they see it for what it might become, not just for what it is. And that's one of the most beautiful ways to innovate, is really to look beyond, to see beyond the norm.
I think you could talk about technology forever, couldn't you?
it wouldn't be the first time I've tried.
And so looking forward, I mean, is there anything else we should keep our eyes on?
There's a whole lot of new stuff coming out. It really is around the mobile technology, I think, that we're about to head down. There's some interesting apps that have come out in the last couple of weeks that talk about the ability to curate our own knowledge, and that's the big push for this year, which simply means we're all turning into our own Google. We all want to put out what we think is important and get other people to look at it. We talked on this show a couple of weeks ago about Pinterest, for instance, which is a curating board that allows you to put together visuals and, again, tell people how you see the world and encourage them to see it through your eyes. So that seems to be the flavour that's come out.
So megalomaniacs would gravitate to this and say, I want to be dictator, so therefore I'll join Pinterest.
Yeah. absolutely, and there's been a few of them. There's a couple of interesting apps I've downloaded in the last couple of days. One of them's called GogoBot, G-O-G-O-B-O-T, GogoBot. And that's an interesting app. It allows you to look around the world and to make little postcards almost of where you've been and where you're travelling, and then share that with other people. So again, the world of travel then becomes centred around you. So we're going to see a lot more of those. The other one that's interesting is called Highlight. Highlight, a little app that you can download. All of these are free. And what it allows you to do, again, is to see the world around where you are. So you're sending out information about what you think is important to other people and who's nearby. What Highlight will do, and a couple of others that we're seeing, and this will be a trend moving forwards that I think will cause angst to people of my vintage, baby boomers, is that you are announcing in advance where you're going to be. Mm. So you're actually telling people that you're about to be in an area.
Now, this has been brewing for a while, like Foursquare and even Facebook getting into the Place app area where you can just keep on letting people know where you are. Yeah, a lot of issues there. There are. And I don't know why everyone wants to be tracked so easily.
Neither do I. And it really is an ongoing debate at this stage for me without answer. So I don't come out on either side of it. I can see the good and bad of both. I mean, anyone who's listened to this show knows that my mantra always is that you don't put anything online that you wouldn't shout in the local market. And this, of course, is not something you'd normally shout in the local market. So you've got to ask yourself why. But that seems to be the predominance of what's coming out. We talked last week about South by Southwest, which is a show in Austin, where we often hear what's new and what's down the track. Twitter came out of it 5 years ago, went from nothing to something at that show. And a lot of these apps were shown there. If they're not these specific ones, these kinds of outputs of being more open to where you are and where you're going and what you're thinking and curating. And they seem to be the flavour. And generally, that is what plays out for the next 12 months or so. So to me, that's where we're headed, good or bad, and that's a debate we can have ongoing, and I hope we will. That seems to be where we're headed for the next while.
Well, it is a future full of technology. That's one thing that's for certain. I don't think technology is going to be taking a backseat anytime in the near future, at least. Maurice Mislowski, thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure, as always.
And if you've got any comments on those, what do you think about the rise and rise and rise of technology? Do you want to be tracked wherever you go? Let us know. +61 427 727 272. You can email us on air at radioaustralia.net.au.